Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MB Pro call. Today is June 11th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which of course you can do by subscribing to MotoVitality on Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or iHeartRadio or any new little podcast application that nobody's ever heard of but you love the format of. Or you can go to MotorVitality.com and listen to years and years and years and years worth of these things in the archives. Over 10 years we've been doing these calls, and there's tons of them. But we love having you on live, and so that you can join the discussion and be part of the conversation. So thank you very much for being here, whether you're here listening live or on recording. If you happen to miss the call last week, we had a guest speaker on, Marianne Metzger, from ResinTech, formerly of National Testing Labs, talking about water testing and procedures and lab testing. And it was actually a really fun, really interesting conversation. So if you missed it, I encourage you to go back and check that out if you haven't already. This week, though, we're going to start the call off the way we do most weeks when we do not have a guest speaker, which is by asking, was there anything that happened to anybody this last week that you, or anything you learned that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or any questions that you have, anything that we can help you with? Anybody have anything?
I actually have a question for you, Kelly.
Go ahead, Corey. Love to answer your question.
Perfect. I'm doing the WQA training again to be certified.
Yeah.
And I'm at the arsenic section, and I thought I knew a lot about arsenic, and after reading this, I realized I know nothing about arsenic.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my question is, from what I'm reading here, it looks like iron oxide media is the most common throughout the industry. Am I assuming that correctly? To remove both and 5?
Yeah. So what happens is the iron arsenic is definitely more easily removed when you have iron in the water. And that is because the arsenic and the iron, when it oxidizes, it can oxidize together. And so the iron and the arsenic kind of, I'm going to make this like not like super molecular chemically thing, but basically basically what's happening is the iron and the and the arsenic are, because arsenic's small, right? It's tiny, tiny, tiny. You can absorb it, especially if you can convert it from arsenic 3, the trivalent arsenic, to the pentavalent arsenic. Then it becomes easier to remove. But what happens when you're oxidizing it, when you're aerating it, especially when you have iron, is the iron and the arsenic combine with each other, and then you oxidize the iron, and the arsenic is stuck to the iron molecule, and it just makes it a lot easier to remove because it's bigger. You know, it's the bigger it is, the easier it is to filter and absorb and pull out of there. So definitely arsenic it's easier to remove iron when you have, easier to remove arsenic from the water when you have iron and or manganese will also do the same thing.
You can oxidize them both, essentially?
Yeah, yeah. So the arsenic and the iron stick together, and the iron is much more easily oxidized. And so since they're stuck together and they oxidize together, it just makes it easier to take it out.
Okay.
So,
but if you only have arsenic 5 in the water, that's something typical reverse osmosis systems can remove.
Yeah.
Right?
So arsenic 5 is, it's not exactly the same, but it's similar, right? The conceptually, when you're thinking about it, it's kind of the way I always think about it. But so arsenic 3 is tiny. It's sort of like, I always kind of equate that to ferrous iron, okay, which is molecular and small, right? In the water, you can't see it. Arsenic 5, it's a bigger number, it's a bigger molecule, and that's the pentavalent, pent 5, versus trivalent, tri 3, right? a reverse osmosis, and much for the same reasons, right? So the reverse pentavalent arsenic is bigger. The arsenic 5 is bigger. And so reverse osmosis system will take out usually, I think it's usually 90 to 95%, or 85 to 95% of arsenic 5, typically a typical membrane, versus arsenic 3, it usually only is going to take out 40 to 60%. So you convert it, you oxidize it to, you know, convert it to arsenic 5, and the reverse osmosis system will definitely take more of it out. Okay, everybody, repeat all of that back to me. So, no, it's here's the point of that is relevant. Does that answer your question, Corey?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Here's I think the relevant point to everybody else kind of listening to that. Okay. So many people, and this is what I am impressed by, Corey, on the fact that you're kind of going and delving in there and doing that. The reality is, haven't you really known enough to explain arsenic to a customer and to most customers, to the vast majority? I mean, what you said you knew about arsenic, you said you thought you knew a lot about arsenic. Hasn't it really been enough to explain it to most, to the vast majority of the customers you run across, that you run into
yeah.
out there?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that is important to recognize. You know, you're rarely ever going to go in and start talking trivalent and pentavalent and iron oxides and oxidization. Yeah, all of that stuff to a customer, you know. So why bother? Why bother knowing all of that stuff or delving in? I think, number one, it's confidence. Number two, you are going to recognize those situations where a typical treatment option isn't working. You know, you run across that customer. This is the first couple times this happened to me after I had really started to delve in and you know, after I had gotten my WQA certification, even after I'd been in the industry for, you know, about a year, I started to run into those customers that would say things like, you know, I've had four companies out here and they've nobody's ever been able to fix it. And you go out there and on the surface, you look at it, you test the water and you look at it and it's pretty much, you can understand why they recommended such and such. It's the typical same stuff that they recommend pretty much everywhere. Until you start delving in and you do a more thorough test. Okay, so you had arsenic and this arsenic system isn't working. You're still getting it after the RO and you said you've had four ROs put in and you're still coming up positive for arsenic, for example. Okay, that is pretty consistent. It's unlikely that four different companies are going to have four ROs that are giving, you know, that are not working, unless there's something different, unusual with the water. And that's where having that additional information comes in. It allows you to ask the right questions. Okay, so, you know, in a lot of instances, I mean, if you put in an RO and people have a certain amount of arsenic in their water, but the vast majority of it's arsenic 5, the RO is going to take it out. Not going to be a problem. If the vast majority of that is arsenic 3 and you put in a standard RO, they're still going to have arsenic. You know, if it's taking out 40 to 60% of arsenic 3, you know, that's maybe only cutting the amount of arsenic they have in half. So if they started with 60 parts per billion of arsenic and they still have 30, that's still three times the maximum contaminant level. So no, you know, knowing the extra information doesn't necessarily mean it, having to explain it that way to a customer. It means being able to ask the right questions, be able to go further to, you know, to do a different treatment option. I mean, throwing the same type of treatment just because it has a different manufacturer's name doesn't mean you're going to get different results. You know, so I applaud your desire to go in there and learn it further and to, you know, that's the reason. I will tell you that sets you apart as a sales professional from the salespeople in this industry all over the country. People that have just learned, you know, the basics. I mean, we've talked about this on this call before. How many times, you know, Corey, you've been doing this, what, two and a half years? You know, and Bill, you're brand new. Welcome, by the way. We got a couple people. I think Brian, is that right? Are you on? And Bill, a couple brand new people in the industry. I think what you find, Brian.
It's Brian, yeah.
I think, you know, and welcome to both of you. It's a exciting industry to be in, and I know it can be a little, you know, I'm starting to talk pentavalent, trivalent, and, you know, all the chemical and all that stuff. It can be a little, when you first come in, you start hearing all these terms, these brand new terms in the industry that all of us throw around like we, you know, like it's nothing. It can be overwhelming. There's a lot of information. There's a lot to learn, especially if you didn't come from any related type of industry. It can be, you know, every single person that I've ever seen come into this industry that hasn't had any experience in it, they get to the end of the first week and they go, there's almost like this panic look in their eyes, like, how am I ever going to learn all that stuff? But that's because we believe in teaching. We don't want to just throw a script at you and say, here, learn this. You know, memorize the script and you'll be fine. That makes you like everybody else, and it's why there's so much turnover in the industry, and it's why there's so many salespeople in the industry. If you want to set yourself apart and really embrace the industry and the global impact that you, at an entry level into the industry, can have, just in the amount of impact you have every time you put in a reverse osmosis system, you're saving, you know, people from buying bottled water. You know, every time you sell a water softener, you're hopefully educating them enough to cut down their soap usage by 50 to 75%, which means less plastic to store and ship the soap, you know, and, you know, less 1,4-dioxane and you know, the things that go back into the ground because of the soap usage that we put out there, you know, and all the detergents and stuff like that. I mean, just the impact that you have at the sales level, even coming in brand new, if you want to have that kind of impact in this industry, then, you know, learning more than just a script it can seem overwhelming. It can seem like, holy moly, what did I get myself into? But I encourage you, as with any new person or any new endeavor, to each week, I think weekly is good because the days go by, and honestly, by the end of the day, you're sometimes just brain dead. You know, there's so much information that you've learned that you're just going, holy crap. But take a look at it at the end of the week and ask yourself, what do I know now that I didn't know Monday? What can I explain and answer? If a customer asks me a question today about something, how many questions can I answer today on Friday that I didn't know the answer to on Monday? And I know it sounds silly, but you think of the 80s version of Karate Kid, right? You know, wax the floor. You know, or paint the fence. right? And, you know, sand the deck. Hey, Danielson. Oh, and there goes my Karate Kid. Hey, Corey, you do Ralph Macchio, and I'll do Mr. Miyagi. That'll be fun on this call, don't you think? But no, it is sort of like that. You know, it feels a little like that, like some of the stuff that you're learning, and then so you have to step back and kind of put it all together, though. You know, and please tell me you've seen the 80s version of Karate Kid, everybody, because if not, Jiminy Peets, do I feel old. So anyway, welcome. I guess that's a long, very long-winded way of saying welcome to the new people, and please learn as much as you can because it's what makes a difference. Anybody else? So let me spend the last 15 minutes kind of talking about the topic that Jen and I put together for today. Okay, we have talked about this before, and I think the last time we really delved into it was before the midterms last time, the midterm elections, and it's a little earlier before the November election. that I want to do this topic, but I think it's a relevant one, given that you can't turn on the news right now or even just walk through anywhere without politics and what's happening right now just being so front and center. And we've always heard, so today we're going to talk religion and politics. And I want to talk about that a little bit and how to address that, because we're in the homes, we're in people's private space. And this is, I mean, this is a topic that is coming up constantly. You know, it's always been a hard thing for me because they're two of my favorite topics, religion and politics. I love talking about both of them. And yet I'm in a profession where, you know, unfortunately, and I think it has gotten worse. Those are two topics. They've always been polarizing topics. They've always been topics that somebody in sales or in business in general are, you know, you hear that. You don't talk religion and politics. You stay away from it. I've never really felt that that was a realistic instruction, though. And so what I want to do is kind of clarify that and give a different take on the religion and politics issue. I think right now when we're going in homes, and I think this is happening with service, with sales, I think it's happening at the grocery store, everywhere. It is so on people's minds. You know, there have been so many things that have happened in 2020 that has forced it to be on our minds. I mean, and we've turned everything into a political discussion. You know, the pandemic became, you know, the way we reacted to the pandemic, the stay-at-home orders, it became polarizing. You know, it became us versus them, one way or the other. It's become that way. It's really hard to actually have a discussion about those issues. And so the more polarizing, and I suspect that's just going to get worse and worse and worse as we come to November. You know, it's going to be, the last couple elections I felt have been the most vitriolic I've ever remembered in my lifetime. And I'm being completely objective here, and I don't want in any way, shape, or form to indicate what side I'm on, because I think this is that's universal. It is vitriolic on both sides, and it's becoming a rarity to find a discussion of moderation. So how do we handle that when we're walking in people's homes and we are talking to customers, or, you know, or just out in our daily lives? You know, so I want to open it up to just a couple minutes of discussion and ask you guys your thoughts on it before I kind of summarize the way I think it should be handled. When you're in the home, when you're talking to people, and you know they're bringing up politics, it's not even something that you necessarily bring up. But how are you? First off, are you encountering it? Is it an issue? Is it coming up? And how are you handling it if it does?
Hi, Kelly.
Hey, Maria.
Yes, it comes up. I had an experience yesterday. What I find is people like to talk, so you just let them talk. You smile. I don't get comments either way, but again, people just talk. So you let them say their piece because that's what they want to do.
In anybody else? I'm going to come back to that in a second, Maria. And you can't see it right now necessarily, but I'm smiling ear to ear on your response. So,
this is Bob. Hey, Kelly.
Hey.
It's Bob. I got to say, the last couple of weeks, I haven't really heard, nobody's really brought up anything like that with me. It hasn't come up.
I wonder if part of that, I guess I am, just as you say that, Bob, in some ways it doesn't necessarily surprise me. Now, I will tell you, it has come up a lot of times since I've been in, you know, last couple of weeks kind of doing service calls. Even doing service calls, customers are bringing it up to me. But I also wonder if part of that is, you know, you're saying nobody's brought it up. I wonder if people are backing, because it's so vitriolic, if people are intuitively just having the have people seen that part? That's kind of interesting to think that because they don't want to get into, you know, people are exhausted by the battle sometimes. You know, some people just are hungry for that, and they can't get enough of it. I find that, but I find it interesting. What about the rest of you? Are you guys, anybody else running into that? I mean, are you hearing about it or not hearing about it?
It's Stacy here. I haven't, lately, people really haven't been talking about it. They have been talking about the protests and things like that, but not the actual politics of it as much. But like last election, it was, people would be polarized. You'd get the ones that were extreme one way or extreme the other way. And you just basically smile and be very careful what you say and try to redirect the conversation back to what you're there for. Because otherwise you're there forever.
That part's true too. That part is true too. Yeah. Okay. So I do think there's so much advertising and so much, and it might be regional too, you know, to some extent, but, okay. So that's interesting. So you haven't really heard as much about the politics, so people are talking about the pandemic and the protests, but they're not doing it politically. Is that what you're suggesting?
Exactly. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else?
My comment is, it's a new world for us right now.
Right.
Kelly, what I'm finding is people are really concerned, obviously concerned about this COVID-19, and there have been a couple times that, and this isn't in people's homes, but just the individuals that I've mentioned, that I would really be interested to see how this plays out and see what history has to say about it. How the books are written, and when I make a statement that, you know, I'm not downplaying COVID-19 at all. It's a very, very, very real threat, but that, you know, it is used for political purposes by both parties. And when I make a statement like that, I think there's so much fear and concern about it that people just want to shut that off. So that may be what's going on now, when you're not finding what you would normally find. Our world has changed in so many ways, and the mentality of so many people has changed. They're looking at things that are more important to them personally.
That's interesting. It's an interesting take. So I think it will be interesting to see in that context. So you guys, I mean, we've got most of you on the call who are saying that you're hearing about the political side of it less often than normal. And Maria, I kind of have the same experience being in the homes. And you know, as I'm listening to that, it makes me question whether or not, I wear it on my sleeve. Because I as I mentioned, you know, earlier in the call, there are two of my favorite topics to talk about. And so while I try not to bring it up or say something, I wonder if that people sense that is something there, you know, and so it comes up more often in the way I'm presenting myself. I think that would be worth looking at, you know, because it certainly has, you know, it's certainly something on the front and center of my mind on a lot of things. So that's kind of interesting. So in general, let's take the last couple minutes and talk about how to deal with all of this. Okay. First and foremost, Maria, I think you're exactly right, and you too, Stacy. It may surprise a lot of people to know that I actually wouldn't agree with the shut it down, don't talk about religion and politics idea, because it people are so passionate about those things, and politics in particular right now seems like that's where the vast majority of the vitriol is. However, what I would say is much kind of to what you were talking about, Stacey, and also you, Maria, is that it's their story. It's always their story. When you go into their home, to their private space, it's okay to, you know, to engage in that discussion. But when, you know, this goes all the way back to the very basics, way back to Dale Carnegie days, right? How to win friends and influence people. Okay. And people like to be empowered. They like to talk about themselves. They like to feel smart. They, and that's one of the, you know, sales training secrets 101 is let the customer talk about what they want. You know, salespeople tend to be, you know, I've been guilty of this myself. At times I have to remind myself constantly, two ears, one mouth. And that's a, you know, we need to spend far more time listening than talking and letting the customer talk about their interests and their concerns and their beliefs and their ideas. And the more you do that, the more you allow the customer and the more questions you ask to prompt the customer about all things, hopefully mostly related to their water and their concerns with water. And we want, Stacey, you're right. We can go off in a, you know, down a rabbit hole and be there for 3 hours if we don't keep it focused to what we're there for. But I think, you know, customers, if they bring it up, they want to talk about it. Okay. And I don't think there's anything wrong with allowing them to talk about it. What I would encourage you to do is that when you leave and you get back in your car, I want you to ask yourself, do they know where I stand on this issue? Do they have any idea where I stand? Do they know what my opinion is or where, you know, how I'm going to cast my vote or what my faith is? Do they know that? If the answer is yes, then I'd encourage you to, you know, if you were like-minded, it's not bad. Okay, you just bonded with them, and maybe that helps you get the sale. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that if you're totally like-minded. But in general, I think what I would recommend as a professional is that the answer be that they have no idea. It's not even really going to occur to them. Okay, if you allowed them to talk, you empowered them, you allowed them to make their point, you know, you were polite, you were engaging, you were listening, they're going to feel empowered. And they may, whether you agree or not with them, they may have the impression that you do, which, it, you know, is okay as long as you didn't give them necessarily that impression. It should be neutral. People will make up their own mind. You know, if you didn't stand there, I think it's inappropriate to definitely, you know, to disagree with them about those issues that are not related to what your expertise is in. So ultimately, summarize this on the call. The last 15 minutes went fast. It's their story. Let them tell it. It's okay. And prompt them to tell it. In some, and keep it, like Stacey was saying, keep it focused on water treatment, on what you're there to do as much as you can. But if they obviously want to talk about it, practice the two ears, one mouth thing, okay? Practice letting them tell their story and making sure that they don't know what yours is. It's not about you, not your story, okay? Any final thoughts or comments on that as we finish up here today?
Hi, Kelly, it's Maria again. So what you were saying before, a lot of the times we get into those political discussions because we talk about the lockdown. We talk about, you know, how it's affected their life. And so they start going on how it's affected their life and what the news says and all this stuff and how it's political. Yeah. So, again, I don't think it's necessarily – it's the world events. It's the protests. Yeah. It's the riots that bring us into the political. So I don't think it's necessarily you or me. We're just talking to them about their experiences and what they're going through, and it ends up with them talking about the political part of it.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that, too, because we are empathetic, you know, and it is – they all are intertwined. There are not separate issues with any of them. So that's a good point. Thank you, Maria. All right, anybody else? lost a couple people here, but which is good because that is the end. Thank you, everybody, very much. I really appreciate it. Everybody, please be safe, and we will talk to you next week, if not before. Okay? Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Bye.
Thanks.